And another Friday, another injury of the week. As always, we're joined here on a Friday morning by Dr. Mark Plumbey of First Settlement Orthopedics. And Doctor, how's it going this Friday morning?
Oh, doing excellent, Sean. How about yourself?
Not too shabby, not too shabby.
All right, good.
Currently uninjured, so that's that is good. Now,
that's always a plus.
Yes, as always, our subjects of the show, we're dealing with some sort of malady, or sometimes we take a week to highlight one specific type of injury, and today is sort of a jumping off point to that, as we're going to take it from one of our regional teams, the Pirates, and first baseman, or one of the primary first basemen they've used, and Manuel Valdez, suffering a season-ending shoulder dislocation, a left shoulder dislocation that required surgery, and that's going to end his campaign. He had been getting the majority of starts over at first base, and now it's going to be Horowitz and Rodriguez, maybe even some of the minor leaguers. Gorski came up for them as well and had a nice stretch. So maybe a little first baseman by committee, but we're going to dig in on a dislocation. Now, we've kind of touched on this just briefly, but a dislocation that requires a surgical procedure, that's going to be pretty bad. And I mean, on the kind of worst case scenario into the scale, right?
Sure, absolutely. To first understand what's going on is the shoulder is a very dynamic joint. It's one of the most range of motion that we have in all of our joints. So it imparts a little bit of instability that it's subject to. That's why you hear somebody dislocating something. Usually it's going to be the shoulder. It's the most common joints that dislocated. There's three main types of instability. The most common by far is what Valdez had, which is more than likely an anterior shoulder dislocation. That's when the ball pops out the front. So the front of the shoulder, the front of the body is the anterior aspect. The posterior aspect of the body, the back, is the posterior. So there can be posterior instability. So anterior instability, number one. Two, posterior instability, where the ball goes out the back.
Oh,
and then the third
painful
type of instability is in multidirectional instability. And those people are those who have like some type of laxity to the shoulder. You hear people with Ehlers-Danlos, that's a joint laxity problem. And that's more of a micro instability instead of a frank dislocation where the ball pops out of the socket.
Wow. And I got to say that the first one sounds like exactly what I expected when I hear dislocation. The other two just sound incrementally more painful.
Sure. So with the first one, the anterior, when it pops out the front, that's when you usually see somebody with the ball pops out of the socket. And a lot of people, it'll stay out. So you need to go to the emergency department, have that shoulder reduced. Usually you get sedation, put you in light sleep, and then they put the ball back in the socket. Mm-hmm. Now, what you have to understand, when you do dislocate your shoulder, whether out the back or the front, then there's a high rate of injuring the labrum. And the labrum is where the capsule, which is the ligament, attaches down to bone, which provides the stability to the shoulder. About 95%+ of those who dislocate their shoulder out the front will get what's called a Bankart tear, which is an anterior labral tear. When you have that, then that really sets you up for a high risk of redislocation, especially if you're a young, active individual. So we as surgeons are pretty aggressive in treating younger, active patients because of that high risk of redislocation. And what it takes is an arthroscopy, an arthroscopic procedure, small poke hole incisions where you repair that labrum back down to where it came off. Typically 4 to 6 month recovery. Valdez is scheduled for a 6 month recovery. I tell all my patients, could be sooner, could be later, depending on what you're trying to get into. But usually around the 4 month mark, you're feeling really good, full range of motion. And that you just need that extra 2 months for the deconditioning aspect, since you haven't done a lot over the last 4 to 5 months leading up to that point in time.
And I know when we mentioned this earlier in a previous episode, you did mention that this is one of those that having one sort of greatly, you know, can increase that chance of re-injury.
Exactly.
Is there, and obviously the surgical route, you're trying to do as much as you can to prevent that.
Yeah, and we're getting more aggressive as surgeons as we're finding out more with the research. We're getting more aggressive in treating these injuries sooner because we know that the more you dislocate, the more the ball comes out of the socket, the higher rates of failure after you do have a repair. So we tend to lean more towards shutting the athlete down and getting him into surgery sooner. But that's not to say that you can't have a good outcome if you dislocate your shoulder without surgery. If you get some good rehab and you're not at the high-risk individual, meaning over the age of 21, not playing a contact sport, you can still have a good outcome and not have any further dislocations as your rate of redislocation decreases the older that you are.
Wow. And, you know, I guess I think about, you know, just a dislocation or something like that, someone popping it back in and good to go. I guess it's really not quite that simple.
And no, it's not. But there are some tough knuckleheads out there. You see the rugby players, the football players. They're like, put it back in, you know, talk to the trainer, put it back on the sideline. I'm good to go. You know, don't really recommend doing that, but some people you just can't hold back.
Right, absolutely. And that is, wow, that I guess even speaks more to the to that toughness, I guess, one way or the other, however you feel about it, as we talk here another Friday morning with Dr. Mark Plumbe. And hey, before I let you go this morning, let's go a little inside baseball with kind of what you're doing on this aspect of things, because you mentioned how the surgery and these procedures are evolving. How much have you seen just in your career the evolution of sports medicine?
Oh, massive, massive. You know, there are hundreds and hundreds of studies being generated at these high-level institutions looking at injuries and how we can improve. There's also lots of medical companies out there that are improving their techniques. For example, with shoulder dislocation, the anchors that we used to use were small metal anchors. Now that they have improved that to where they're all suture type of anchors, so it's not a piece of metal in there which could get dislodged and damage the joint, that anchor now has the ability to be a knotless mechanism. It's like a finger trap. So instead of making a tie to tie the labrum back down, we don't have to have those knots that build up, which we know causes irritation to the joint. So it's knotless, it's no metal. So it allows the surgeon to provide a better type of implant for the patient and ultimately a better outcome. And we see that across the board in all of orthopedics and also all of medicine.
That's incredible stuff. Each and every week I learn a lot and I come out a little bit more amazed about sports science. Hopefully you are out there as well in radio land. And hey, each and every Friday we're very grateful for your time, Dr. Mark Plumbe of First Settlement.
No problem, Sean. Happy to be here.
Our sports update just around the corner here on local radio WMLA.